الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Beloved ulama, elders, brothers, fellow students in Islam, alhamdulillah, we know that our first thing that we should do in the morning is read our sunnah du'as, and together with that to make intention what our purpose of our life is. The first intention which we learn from our sheikh is to make the intention that the purpose of my life is to earn the praise of Allah, the mahabbat of Allah, the love of Allah. Together with that, akhirah is love. That my second intention that I'm making, why am I in this world, is for my akhirat. And the third intention which I would like to highlight today is that we should make intention that the purpose and the reason of my existence here in this world is to adopt and inculcate the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life. This is something indeed of great significance and most important. And we come to these programs, we come to sit in the company of our Shaykh to learn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the prescription that if you would like to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want Allah to love you, then you need to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we start off our morning like this, that we make these intentions, then automatically our navigation will lead us in this way. When we make intention in the morning that the purpose of my life is to fulfill and inculcate and adopt the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will help us. Allah will assist us. Allah ta'ala will assist us to bring the sunnah in our life. We should also make this intention together with that, oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq that today I should not do anything contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't, لا أريد أن أعمل أي عمل خلاف سنة حبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم. That I don't want to do the slightest action against or in contrary, in conflict to the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we make these type of intentions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq that when we accidentally do something against the sunnah, it will hurt us. And when we accidentally come out of the masjid with the wrong foot, we'll go back in and come out with the correct foot, which the way of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And this will be most dear to us. You know, it was one of the elders in Pakistan, if I'm not mistaken, Jamshir rahmatullah alayhi, what attracted him to the work of Dawat and Tabligh was that on one occasion he was in a wudu khana, and while he was in the wudu khana, he saw one person pacing up and down crying profusely. And when he asked him, why are you crying so profusely? What is the matter? What happened? If we're crying, we lost maybe 1 million rand or 2 million rand or something happened like that, then we'd be crying for some calamity lost in our business deal. And he asked him, what's the matter, brother? How can I help you? And he said that today I can't find my miswak and I don't have anything to buy another miswak, and I would like to make wudu, but I don't have a miswak to make wudu. That's making me cry. When value of sunnah will come in our life, when we make this intention, then value of sunnah will come in our life. And when value of sunnah come in our life, then we'll feel that I cannot make my salah without making miswak. Because I know the virtue and the reward I'm going to get while I'm making salah with miswak. Imagine a salah with miswak is 70 times more rewarding, and a salah without miswak is 70 times less. Imagine what a great prophet. Now we'll feel regret and remorse when we cannot do it. Because slowly when we adopting a sunnah is the love of Allah. And when we have the love of Allah, we want to do things in accordance to the pleasure of Allah. And when it's done contrary to the pleasure of Allah, it starts hurting us. We start feeling regret. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi explained so beautifully. He says, what is one of the secrets of why the sunnah is so beloved to Allah? And he says that like how if, by way of example, that when somebody resembles someone that you love, then they're very near and dear to your heart. To make us understand that we can well imagine the love that Rasulullah ﷺ had for Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. On one occasion, after the demise of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, in the Medina period, the sister of Sayyidina Khadija visited the house of Rasulullah ﷺ. And while visiting that house, she knocked at the door. When Rasulullah ﷺ heard the knock, it brought emotion to him. He said, "That knock reminds me of my Khadija." So that fondness of that, just the knock of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anhu. Now we can just understand that when we start to resemble and emulate the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and each one in an individual capacity is, so to say, that we're reminding of Allah, that is of His beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we are in a version that this, how it was when the Nabi of Allah walked from place to place and he made the effort of deen, when we inculcate and bring sunnah into our life, then it will be as if Allah is saying that this person resembles my beloved. And that makes us so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to bring this in our life. Firstly, to make the intention that we're going to, well, one of the purpose of my life is sunnah. And then see how Allah opens up the way for us. And how Allah makes the sunnah so dear to us, dear to our heart. We'll get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the different bounties and favors? This protection of our deen, dunya and akhirat in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very beautifully it is stated that sometimes we only want to see the benefit of akhirat. But in the sunnah there is even benefit for the dunya as well. My khala, my mother's sister, was in P some time ago, and she was telling us that there was a kidnapping case. I don't know exactly where it was, but here somewhere in Johannesburg. And when they were searching for the person, they came to the room where he was kept. But when they entered the room, they could see no traces of him. They said, okay, perhaps he's not here. The search party was going, they could not find him. So perhaps he's not in this room. However, they saw that there's a glass of water. And on top of the glass of water, there was a small stick covering on top of the glass. And we know it is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and the teachings of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you have a container, then it should be covered at night. You should cover the container. So this person covered his glass with a small piece of wood or stick over that. When they saw this, they said, definitely he must be in this room. When they then were certain that he is in this room, they opened up the bed and he was kept in the bed, hidden in the bed away. That they cut a hole in the bed and they kept him. In that, we might think it's insignificant, but see how the sunnah came to avail to rescue him on that day. Now if the sunnah could come to avail and rescue him here in something in this dunya, how will the sunnah come to avail in our akhirah, and qabr and qiyamah day? So the greatest, it will be a great source of happiness to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we can stand tall and proud that this is the sunnah of my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when this love develops, because we are having a desire of sunnah, Allah will become beloved to us. We will become beloved to Allah, and Allah will make whatever Allah's Nabi loved, Allah will make it dear to our heart. Look at one beautiful hadith. He stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be followers that will come after. We must ask myself now. We all have to address ourselves at this moment. That there will be followers that will come after me. Just ask myself, to what regard is the sunnah in my life? And one of the reasons we sit in the company of our sheikh and the mashayikh we go is to learn the love of sunnah. And they will show us practically what is the true essence of bringing the sunnah in our life. And wallahi, when we sit in the company of a friend of Allah, that will enable us and give us the tawfiq to bring sunnah in our life. So coming back to this hadith, keep this in mind when we study. You will see sometimes some things we were struggling with for time memorial, and in the company of sitting in a friend of Allah, Allah will grant us the tawfiq, Allah will open it up. We want things to do, but every time we forget. But however, when we're sitting in the company of a pious servant, a friend of Allah, a wali of Allah, then we see how Allah opens it up to us. Coming back to this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, a time will come where people will love me so much. They will love me so much and they will wish to see me so much that they will be willing to spend their wealth, forego their families, and sacrifice all their obsessions just to see me. Now we should gauge ourselves. Does that ever feature in our life? That the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come, there will be such people that they'll be so desirous of seeing me that they'll be willing to spend all their wealth, forego their families, and sacrifice all the possessions that they have just so that they could see me. And the practical example of this was in the time of Rasulullah to show that how much love the Sahaba had. When we start bringing Sunnah in our life, we'll become the beloved of Allah. Sunnah will be most dear to us. Deen will become enjoyment. And see how the Sahaba brought it in their life. Two examples, Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said on one occasion, he said that, O Nabi of Allah, the Islam of your father was the love for your father to accept Islam, or the love for your uncle to accept Islam rather, the love for your uncle to accept Islam was more dear to me than the acceptance of my own father's Islam. Because I knew that if your uncle or Rasulullah accept Islam, it will be more dear to you and it will be more pleasing to you. So that's why I had more love that your uncle must accept Islam than my own father. Imagine to what love they had. Similarly, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said that he told Abbas radiallahu anhu that, O Abbas, that your acceptance of Islam was more dear to me than the acceptance of my own father's Islam, because I knew this would bring more pleasure to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is when the love of Allah comes in us, love for the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life. And what did the Nabi of Allah not do for us? I conclude on this story which I read, that the Nabi of Allah will mean everything for him, for us. In fact, the ulama say that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the individual who we pin our hopes on, that he will intercede for us on behalf of us. In fact, one hadith comes that, what an excellent man I am for the sinners of my ummah, that my intercession will be for them. May Allah make us first realize that we are sinners, and then Allah make us realize that inshallah, that Allah ta'ala grant us a death on iman, and we realize we're sinners, but because from the ummatis, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah. So the hadith I want to mention and conclude is to make us realize that how much the Nabi of Allah did for us, and what are we willing to do for his sunnah. I beg us all at this moment, we should ask this question to ourselves, that how much the Nabi of Allah sacrificed, keep this in mind and conscious all the time, that how much Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for us, and how much are we willing to do for him, and keep this hadith in mind. On one occasion, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Aqil radiallahu anhu says that on one occasion I came with a delegation of the Thaqif tribe to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that moment when we came to visit him, there was no one more hated to us than the person we were going to visit. Listen to his words and look at that noble countenance in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That there was no one more hated, but by the time we left visiting him, then there was no one more beloved to us than the person that we came to see. In one sitting, their heart changed totally from being the individual that was most hated to them to becoming the most beloved to them. And then he said that someone asked, O Rasulullah, why don't you make dua that Allah granted shows that when he saw the house of the Nabi of Allah, there was nothing there. He made the dua, O Rasulullah, why don't you ask Allah to grant you a kingdom like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? So Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed actually. And he said that I have hope that perhaps Allah will give myself, meaning Nabi of Allah, Allah will give the servant something far better than the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that every Nabi had a special dua. Every Nabi had a special dua, And some of them use their dua for something of this world. Some of them use their dua for those ummati, the followers of them who disobeyed them. And because of that, because of the dua of the Nabi, they were then destroyed. However, I have reserved this dua and have stored this dua for Qiyamah Day. And what will I do with this dua, that accepted dua? I kept it so that I may intercede on behalf of my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. In another hadith, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says that Nabi of Allah will continuously be interceding for his ummah, continuously be interceding for his ummah, continuously be interceding for his ummah until Allah will ask him, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will ask him, O Nabi, are you now satisfied? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, yes, bala my Rabb, I am now satisfied. Let us keep this in mind and then make the sunnah an objective of our life, our purpose of our life. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. That when we bring sunnah in our life, we'll see how we come closer to Allah, our deen will become nearer to us, and we'll feel the pleasure of Allah, we'll feel enjoyment in deen, we'll feel the pleasure of Allah, the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with us. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq.